Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Mind Your Biz Today is brought to you by Vistage, the world's leading CEO organization whose member companies outperform the market. Visit Vistage.com today.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back, South Florida. It's good to have you back to Mind Your Biz Today. Please visit us at mindyourbiztoday.com. Give us your comments, your questions, and your suggestions for future shows. We'd love to hear what you're in need of to help grow your business. We also want to thank Vistage, our sponsor. Vistage is also in the same business we're in, which is growing your business. Vistage helps CEOs and executives worldwide increase the size of their business and their profitability. So thank you, Vistage, for being a sponsor. I have been involved with Vistage personally for 20 years, and our guest today has been involved with Vistage for over 25 years. And a lot of the people you hear us interview on this show are good examples of Vistage speakers and resources, the kinds of people that you will hear, the experts in their fields. The only place you can get it is at Vistage and this radio show. So we are about to introduce Ian McDougall. We are thrilled to have Ian, who happens to be in town, and we were lucky enough to secure him for an interview today. So Ian McDougall is the president and founder of Corporate Life Cycles. I've heard this talk that we're going to be discussing today repeatedly, and I know Mr. McDougall's work. His work is Corporate Life Cycles. His company is an international consulting firm. He consults all over the world on large-scale organizational change, including lifestyle cycle diagnosis. Where are you in your company? Are you a startup? Are you mature? Where are you in your life cycle? And what is the impact that has on your business today? All of these different stages of cycle reflect different values and structure, and that's what we're going to learn about today. So, Ian, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
You're welcome.
So we have so many questions for you on your work, and we'd really like to hear some more about how you help organizations resolve problems that are associated with their life cycle. Can you explain first what you mean about corporate life cycle?
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, everything has a life cycle, as you know from your own work. Products
yes.
have life cycles,
mm-hmm.
markets, plants, planets, and of course people. And all of that is well understood and well documented. What's less well understood is the idea that organizations have life cycles, meaning they too are born, they grow, and they can. Now notice I said they can, doesn't mean they have to. They can age and die.
As we've seen many businesses do in the recession.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you should ask me about that later, because
the recession
is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, in fact, that's a good example of whether the recession is seen as an opportunity or a threat depends on where the company is in the life cycle.
Ah.
Because many companies also thrive during the recession.
Yes.
But in any rate, getting back to your question, in the corporate life cycle, there are 10 definite recognizable stages. Courtship, which is pre-birth.
Oh, I just met with a young man today who has a concept he's testing, and so he's in the courtship stage, just getting ready to launch it.
Right. My guess is he was probably telling you how wonderful it was going to be when he got this thing going.
Oh, yes, he was.
Effectively, he was just trying to convince himself.
Okay. Okay, I guess there's a lot of people out there with that mindset.
No, absolutely, because they're kind of building commitment to that stage.
And they're passionate because they don't know what will and will not work yet.
What I say is, how I describe them is, they have unreasonable conviction in the face of insufficient evidence.
Oh, I love that. I'm glad I didn't have that quote to discourage him this morning.
But actually, on the topic of founders at the courtship stage, they should be, I would say, reasonably unreasonable.
Okay.
What I mean by that is fanatically committed to their concept, but willing to listen.
Okay, I got that. That's a good
but there's
point.
A paradox there, which is, if they're committed, will they listen? If they'll listen, are they committed?
That's a fine line, isn't it? I really, it's interesting because having had this interview with this young man this morning, I completely see that. I didn't want to rain on his parade, but I wanted to give him the downside as well. And it's exactly what you're talking about. Will he listen or will he maintain his passion?
But actually, to do that would be the most helpful thing for you to do, because that's reality testing, because he's probably flying at 30,000 feet right now.
Yes, clearly.
And by the way, bank managers know this as well. If he was heading to the bank to get a loan, the chances are that the bank manager would double his working capital, have his return on investment, and try to bring him back down to earth.
Yes, that's probably what's going to happen.
So that was the first stage, courtship. And then you have, infant, go-go, adolescent, prime, late prime, aristocracy, recrimination, bureaucracy, and death.
Oh, my goodness. And how does a company identify where they are on that life cycle?
Well, of course, that's the most important question of all. I would say, first of all, why it's helpful and almost, actually not even, it's more than helpful, why it's almost mandatory for organizations to know about these life cycle stages is, each stage brings predictable problems.
It's good to have predictable problems as opposed to ones that sneak up on you, then you can prepare.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But the difficulty is that each stage can also bring, let's call it, abnormal problems.
Okay.
So if a company founder or a chief executive is not able to differentiate between what's normal and expected, right, versus what's not normal for that stage, then they can take their company into a dead end. Can I give you an analogy?
Please.
Example. Well-informed parents are familiar with the challenges that await when their kids become adolescents, right? We've all heard of the horror stories.
Heard of them, but living them is another story.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, but well-informed parents have to be able to differentiate between, is this behavior, right, is this issue, this problem, this blow up, whatever, is this normal or is it abnormal for this kid at this point? Because if it's normal, that's just called tough luck, live with it, right?
Right.
But if it's not normal, then you need to deal with it.
Right.
And then the CEO has to say, well, can I deal with this or do I need external help?
And most companies can't tell if it's normal or abnormal because they've only been down this road once in many cases, some couple of times, but in many cases, some people starting businesses don't even know if it's normal or abnormal. Is that right?
Well, that's absolutely right. That's correct. So, for example, in the go-go stage that I mentioned, it's perfectly normal for a company not to have budgets.
Uh-huh. I can relate to that.
Right. Well, and in fact, if they have them, they probably have them by April or May, and it's already 6 months into the year, and they've already spent all the money. But in a more advanced stage, that would be an abnormal problem to not have a budget.
Right.
So that's just an obvious example.
Okay.
Now, many times the abnormal problems, many times CEOs and founders can't solve them on their own. Why? Either because they're too close to it, or because they are part of the problem.
Okay. So Ian, you've named a number of stages. What is the best stage to be in, and how does one A, know they're there, and B, get there and stay there?
How much time do we have?
Probably not enough, but please give us your best answer for at least the next few minutes.
Okay. The most desirable stage is the prime stage. Why that is desirable, the answer is long and it's complicated, but I can give you I can summarize it as follows.
Okay.
how to recognize a company in prime. There are four things that they do at that stage better than anybody else. They are, and I have a kind of a code for those, right? First, they produce results. These are four roles they perform at a, you know, excellent level. They produce results, which makes them effective. Now, straight away, people there make a mistake because you know, if you say, for example, you know, what kind of results are you trying to produce in your organization? What do you think they're going to say typically? Profits. And that's the wrong answer. Why? Because customers don't typically ever go to a company and say, profits, profits, I am here to give you profits.
Yeah, you know, when I do competitive advantage work, sometimes they want to say, well, we're the fastest growing company. I don't care if I'm a customer how fast you're growing or what your profits are.
Exactly.
What's in it for me?
Exactly. So the first thing that these prime companies understand is they understand who their customers are and they understand what their customers need. And it seems pretty obvious, but I mean, a lot of organizations, you know,
miss the obvious. Absolutely.
They miss the obvious. So customer needs are constantly met in the prime stage. This makes the organization effective. By the way, the metric for that is what? Repeat sales.
Of course.
You know, people say customer satisfaction, that's a pretty good measure, but customer retention is much better. So that's the first thing they do. Second thing they do is they're efficient. What does it mean? They're systematized. They have processes that are, and they program activities. The alternative would be obviously inappropriate, which would be everything to be done by trial and error. So this is called expense productivity, if you will.
Okay.
That's the second role. The third role is they're entrepreneurial, meaning that they are, you know, proactive.
Open to innovation, exploring all the time.
Yes, it's like, think of the analogy of a tennis game. They're not waiting to see where the ball is being hit. They're positioning themselves
for where the ball is going to go.
To where it's going to go.
Right.
Of course, that requires risk because you might be wrong.
That's right.
Creativity because you have to figure it out.
And growth companies take more risk.
Absolutely.
Right.
So how many is that? Three. So the fourth one is has to do with the culture. The organization is what we'll call integrated. There's a consciousness of togetherness. I'm sure in your work, Janie, have you ever heard, you know, team members in one of your client organizations say they are having a problem?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Lots of finger pointing, and particularly when we ask companies, what are your competitive disadvantages? And they all point their fingers at each other's department. So a lot of that goes on.
Exactly. Now, when this fourth role, this integration role is performed, the consciousness of togetherness in the organization becomes what we call organic. Quite recently, I was on a Southwest Airlines flight, and I overheard the following conversation that was taking place in the row behind me. The flight attendant was talking to...
Okay, Ian, can I ask you to hold that story?
Absolutely.
Because that sounds fantastic, and we're just about to come up on a commercial break, and it's such a... I love the way you tell stories, so I want to hear the whole thing as soon as we come back from the commercial break. So we want to thank Vistage for being our sponsor, and we want to remind you to go to mindyourbiztoday.com, give us your comments and questions and suggestions for future shows. You can also visit smartadvantage.com to learn more about competitive advantage and how to find one. And as soon as we come back with Ian McDougall, we will get some information from him on how you can learn more about your corporate life cycle, where your company is, and what the value is this brings to your organizations. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
As the CEO, are you avoiding tough decisions? How can you do more with less? Who do you turn to for real advice? What do 14,000 companies who have unparalleled access to new business perspectives, innovative strategies, and actionable ideas have in common? Vistage. Vistage is the world's leading CEO organization who offers their members business coaching benefits not available anywhere else. To see if you qualify for membership in Vistage Florida, contact Chip Webster at 1-800-733-4832 or visit Vistage.com today.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Okay, welcome back, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. And we are interviewing Ian McDougall, an expert on corporate life cycles. And he's telling us where a company might be and where you should be and how to get there and how to maintain prime. And he's been going down a list of his examples of what the prerequisites are. So now I'd like to return to Ian because he was about to tell us a story before commercial break on an experience on Southwest Airlines to demonstrate his point. Ian, would you continue the story?
Right.
Maybe start from the beginning.
Well, certainly. What I was trying to illustrate was an example of an organization that has organic consciousness rather than mechanistic consciousness. A Southwest Airlines flight, I overheard a flight attendant having a conversation with some passengers in the row behind me, and she said something as follows: "We are buying 20 more planes." Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I thought, oh my god, you know, we.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because if you travel on one of the more aging, the airlines that are in the aging of their mm-hmm. life cycle, and you overhear the flight attendants, what are they talking about?
But it's even beyond that. The we is not just about we have new airplanes, but it's we, the collective, as
exactly.
opposed to the we and they, which is the management versus the, whether it's the unions or the staff or whoever it is, that we and they thing. I mean, it's so interesting because every business consultant I know, including myself, uses Southwest as examples. They're hard not to because they're so good at that, at so many things. In making a team effort, holding people accountable, and having a common goal, as it were. So,
yes.
All right. Well, Ian, this is great stuff. I want to ask you. We were just talking about prime and how many businesses are in prime and many are not. There are different places on the cycle, but we've acknowledged the fact that prime is the place to eventually be, and once you reach prime, to try to stay there through some of the things you've just described. So many of our listeners are probably thinking, if that's all it takes, why isn't everybody in prime? What are the obstacles?
Well, it seems pretty simple and straightforward, but here's the difficulty. These roles, to a large extent, they're incompatible. So, for example, or they're in conflict with each other, rather than incompatible.
Okay.
So what we tend to find is that growing stage companies, pretty much you can expect them to focus on and be excellent in the first and third role. In other words, the results, they have a results orientation, and mm-hmm. they're entrepreneurial. They're usually not terribly good at administration,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
As we already said, sometimes they don't even have budgets. And what does that creates an organization that's flexible and unpredictable. Aging companies, on the other hand, obviously tend to be strong in the administration role, and not so good in the others, which makes them predictable and inflexible.
And so that's when you get to the other side of the curve with bureaucracy, and it's too much administration and not enough of the other.
Exactly.
Yes,
that's
exactly. I think we could talk about Uncle Sam being a little bit like that, huh?
That's right. The government is a machine that manufactures...
Administration.
Law. A.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So basically what happens is that why prime is so difficult to get to in the first place, to get there you have to overcome a lot of obstacles, you have to climb a lot of mountains, so it's hard to get there. There are challenges and trip hazards along the way, and some of them are mighty difficult to overcome. But before prime, companies are out of balance as far as these four roles are concerned. And after prime, they're out of balance, but they're out of balance in different ways. Now, can I give you a couple of examples?
By all means, and when you're giving them, I mean, if let's say I'm the CEO of a company that's in prime and I'm falling off the wagon on one side or the other, I've got to get myself back on the saddle. How do I do that?
Well, first of all, you have to figure out where you are, right? And here are some of the indicators of how you might be out of balance. Before prime, what you do in the organization is way more important than how you do it. After prime, how you do things is more important than what you do. As a matter of fact, how you do things and who you know is more important than what you do.
So we get carried away with, we build processes, which are a good thing, but then we build too much into process.
Right. function rules form, and then form rules function.
Okay.
Here's another
wonderful way of summing it up.
Right. Well, thank you. Here's another example that listeners might recognize. Before prime, political power is in sales and marketing.
They have all the leverage.
After prime, where did it move to? It's in accounting, finance, and legal.
Oh, okay.
Right? Before prime, sales and marketing are up to all kinds of shenanigans before.
Because without them, there's no growth.
Exactly. Before prime, line calls the shots.
Mm-hmm.
After prime, staff calls
the
shots.
Okay, interesting.
How about this? Does the organization's expectations exceed their results, or do their results exceed their expectations?
Fascinating question. So go ahead and answer it.
Well, that's that's another indicator.
Yes, it is.
What that gets back to is how do they do budgeting? In an aging company, budgeting is usually done as follows. Last year, plus 10%. Because they can be sure of making 10%.
Yeah.
Growing company, it's last year plus 100%. Why? Because the company founder, the entrepreneur says, because I want 100%.
Right.
And the world's my sandbox, and I just expect to get what I want.
And it's that unreasonable expectation we talked about earlier.
Exactly. So, yeah. So these are some of the, here's another one that also is very frustrating for organizations. Before prime, the executives and team members with responsibility consistently feel that they don't have authority.
Ah.
After prime, executives with authority turns out don't have responsibility.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. So after prime, in that example you just gave, what causes organizations to age in the first place? How do they get to that bureaucracy? How do they take their eye off of the sweet spot? I mean, prime is the sweet spot. How do they get away from that?
Let me summarize that this way. Four factors cause that. Repetitively, it's the same four things. Now, I should make the point that it could be any one of the four is enough to put an organization over the hill and into the aging stages of its life cycle. But briefly, the four factors are, one, we call it relative perceived market share. So in other words, when a company looks at its world, right, and it says, and you say, what is our market share? And you make that the numerator in an equation, and then you could say, who's our nearest competitor, or who's the number one player in our space? What's their share? Make that the denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Divide the denominator into the numerator. That gives you the quotient. The more that quotient exceeds one, the more likely the organization is to age.
How interesting.
And why is that? Well, let's take an example. If my perception is that my share is 25 and that other guy over there has a share of 50, the quotient is 0.5. In other words, I perceive that I'm half the size of my nearest competitor.
Uh-huh.
Or what about if I think my share is 50 and the other guy is 25? I now perceive that I'm twice the size. So isn't it obvious which company is going to take their eye off the ball first?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
So actually, that's one of the first things that we do if we want to rejuvenate an aging company. Recently, I was
You give them a reality check on what they actually are.
Well, yes. I was in Louisiana, in Lafayette, and I was able to take a company there from a 48% market share to 4% in 3 days.
Fantastic.
But one guy said, wow, lucky you didn't spend the entire week.
And what did he mean by that, Ian?
Well, maybe the share would have gone to zero.
No,
but of course, that was not the point. The point was that they redefined themselves.
Right, I understand.
And so that's the first thing. The second thing that I find consistently is mental age of key people.
Ah.
And that's, who are the key people in your organization? Who has a seat at your table?
Mm-hmm.
They have a mental age. That measures the disparity between what they've got and what they want.
Well, Ian, this is absolutely fascinating. Can you give our listeners a way to contact you? What's your website? And we're going to need to wrap it up soon. I could talk all day about this subject.
Sure. www.corplife.com.
Corplife, CORPLIFE.com. And
yes.
Ian McDougall, and that's the best way to contact you. Is there an email, anything else you'd like to put out there?
Ian.McDougall@corplife.com.
Okay, Ian.McDougall@corplife.com. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I need to wrap it up now, but this is fascinating. Is there anything you want to send our listeners to read? You've got some literature on your website, perhaps?
Lots of stuff, including, by the way, a quick life cycle assessment.
Oh, wonderful. Did you hear that, listeners? A quick life cycle assessment is on Ian McDougall's website. You'll all want to visit that and see where your best guess is as to where you are today. I love tools like that on websites. So, again, I want to thank you, Ian, for being with us today. And we're going to get ready to close up the show. I want to thank South Florida for listening. And again, a couple of reminders. It's interesting. I always like to wrap up with something relative to competitive advantage. And companies that go through this and understand their life cycle clearly have better competitive advantages than those that don't. And my book, Creating Competitive Advantage, is called Creating Competitive Advantage, and you can create competitive advantages when you know where you are on the life cycle and you know when you need to create them and you've not gone into the overprime side to be into bureaucracy where you even stop thinking about these things. I see it in our clients all the time, and I see exactly some of the things you've talked about frequently. These are not uncommon problems. There's a lot of companies out there who can use these skills. So again, I want to thank Vistage, our sponsor. Vistage is a worldwide organization who helps over 14,000 CEOs grow their businesses. It's a wonderful organization. I have encountered speakers like Ian McDougall who are experts in their field, and Vistage gives you the opportunity to do that. Visit us at mindyourbiztoday.com and send us your comments and questions and ideas for other shows that you would like to hear. As well, you can visit smartadvantage.com. You can read the first chapter of my book there for free, and you can download some of our tools as well. So again, South Florida, thank you for listening, and have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.